And we're talking about pulling down strongholds. This is the first lesson. It's about not letting strongholds get set. Not letting strongholds get set. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're having temporary difficulties. Please stand by. And got it? Awesome. We'll start at 2 Corinthians 10. Let's start at verse 1. And now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am absent with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we had walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'm going to talk about pulling down those strongholds. Starting the series on that, but just this message is on not letting the strongholds get started. Let's pray together. Father, I come to you tonight, Lord, and Lord, I feel a little bit like I have a truth that's so profound, and I think that in some ways, like the Christians who are super, super godly, it'll be much of it clear to them. They already know that. And those who are blind and proud, they won't think this even applies to them, Father. But I know this is the message you have for us tonight, Lord, and I think it's very profound in your word. And I pray tonight that you'd help every one of us, whether we're the most mature Christian or the newest Christian, to understand the importance of this truth. And I pray we'd have a vision not just for strongholds and what they do in our own lives, but for generations to follow. And we pray that your spirit now would control me, my mind, my tongue, my body, everything, Lord. May it be under the control of your spirit, and help us to see through your word. And with great power, may you anoint this message. And Lord, we just want to look at you and keep our eyes focused on you. And I pray we do so tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have some truths about strongholds tonight. And I just want to give you some observations from this text. They're all pretty obvious. Number one, the war is in the spirit. It says in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. It's very easy. We're very physical creatures. Everything we do, we eat and we talk and we shake hands and we communicate and see and hear and touch and everything. We're all sense-driven. And so we think of things so physical. And we don't realize that so often things aren't physical. There are a lot of times in my life where I want to get somebody's attention. And the way I want to get their attention is I want to really get their attention. Because sometimes you talk to somebody and say, this is really important, listen to me. And they just, okay. You know? But you can't grab them and shake them, slap them a couple times. You can't do that stuff. Well, maybe you can, but that's, as a matter of fact, let's do that. Let's practice. I need a few to come up here and let me practice. You can't really do that. And in life, many times you see a person who's wandering away from God, and you want to grab them and drag them back to church, and you want to grab and say, read your Bible, here, open it, put your head, read. And you want to do those things, but you know, you do that, and you get sued, and it doesn't work very good, and as soon as they leave you, they're not going to read their Bible, and it doesn't work real good. And if I could do those things, there's many people I would like to do those things too. I have gotten, over the last couple years, more blunt, because I've just found out that I'm dealing with life and death in people's lives, and people aren't listening. And boy, I found out not everyone in our culture likes blunt. I tried tact for a long time, and I try to be as tactful as I can, but I'm just not very good at tact, and I tried it, and I was getting too tactful, and I wasn't getting my message across, and finally I just started being real blunt. And, you know, I just and trying to get messages across, but I realize, though, when I'm trying to war against Satan in a life, a person's going back into the world, a person's going against God, a person's ruining their life, or a person is not taking the things of God good, or somebody is trying to hurt me and I want to get revenge on them, fleshly revenge is easy to get. But that's not the way we fight our wars. See, I'm not trying to get that person and get him back and get him evil with him because they're being evil to me. I'm trying to get them to Christ so that they can have a good life. Who cares about me? I don't matter. If they hate me, don't like me, criticize me, that's not the object. I want them to be right with God, and I just don't like them just spend our life criticizing people. That's a foolish, weak people do, is criticize. Well, a great man once taught me, and it's never left me. I learned this: criticize by doing something better. That always keeps me from criticizing. Don't like the way somebody else is doing something? Do something better. That's the best criticism. And I'm not trying to fight against them physically. I'm not trying to fight against. I don't have weapons to change a life. I can't do it by my good looks or wit or intelligence or charm. I can't change a life that way. I can't get somebody because I get so angry with them, they're going to serve God now. No, they won't. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The word carnal means fleshly. You get the word carnivore from that. The weapons of our warfare, the way we fight in this thing, is not physical weapons. We are not going to go to war and get people to trust Christ. We're not going to beat somebody up and get them to trust Christ. We're not going to hurt them and get them to follow Jesus. Our weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons. They're spiritual, it says. So I can pray for somebody. I can give them the Word of God. I can love them. I can fast for them. There's a bunch of weapons I have to try to influence people to fight against Satan. Right now as a church, we see Satan fighting, but we don't have any physical weapons. There's no physical thing that can change a life. The weapons are spiritual weapons. Number two, our weapons are mighty through God. It says for our verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So the weapons we have, they're not physical, that we can't drop a nuclear bomb on somebody, though we might want to. Sometimes with that is not as powerful as the weapons we do have. The weapons of prayer, the weapons of a church, the weapons of love, the weapons of the Bible, the weapons of witnessing. These weapons are very powerful. Number three, we are to pull down strongholds. These weapons, verse 4, are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Next, we are to pull down strongholds, we said. We can pull those down or destroy them. Number four, we are to trap our strongholds. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's in the middle of this context of the spiritual war, it says your thoughts must be brought into captivity. It's very important. The war in America right now, the war you and I fight, is not a physical war spiritually. It's a mind war. And your mind is at war. That's why people suffer so severely. There's never been any culture in the history of the world who has so many people on drugs for their emotions and their mind. Ever. Ever, 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 ever. There's more drugs for our mind consumed in America than every nation in the world combined. Combined. Not like we do 40% in some of the nations. No, every nation in the world combined. 80% of Ritalin is in America. The whole world. We have this war in our mind, and our minds are drawn. The pictures, the visions, the billboards, the radio, the TV, the visions we see. Everything everywhere is drawn our mind to the wrong spots. In a sense, your mind doesn't naturally go to the good things you should think about. You know what your mind goes to if you let it? It goes to people who made you mad. Most of us, we don't naturally, you know what? Your mind just wandered around and your mind just goes, you know what? I just want to think about how wonderful God is. Your mind naturally kind of, see, our minds, because we are fallen creatures, our minds are tilted and they go towards the gutter. And they go towards the gutter, and by nature, you have a million things to think about. And you know what? If there's somebody who's mean to you today, you know what you're going to think about if you don't control your mind? The person who's mean to you. If two people are nice to you and one person is mean to you, you'll dwell all day by nature on the mean person. That's your nature. You go to church, Can you hear me? Good. All right. I don't know what's wrong with that. Maybe the battery's dying. I don't know. But we are to bring these thoughts into captivity and pull them down and bring them all and capture those strongholds. So we see this phrase about strongholds and pulling them down and destroying strongholds. Strongholds are something that gets taken into your life and happens to you. And you get strongholds and I get strongholds in our life. And the devil has strongholds in your life. Now, not everybody knows there's a stronghold in their life. Not everybody knows what they are. Not everybody even sees that there are strongholds. They just think just weird things happen to them and things just happen to them and they were just in the wrong place, the wrong time and stuff. But the Bible talks about strongholds. Can you imagine if you had a land and you were a duke or you were a king or you owned a great piece of land and all of a sudden one day somebody comes back and they ride up on the horse and they say, there is a stronghold in the middle of your land. You get with your horses and your soldiers and you ride out there and you take a look and you go up to the point and you ride out there and sure enough, there's this huge castle, big stones, big towers, and people sitting on the edge of towers and archers and everybody all around and all inside the stronghold are enemies and it's full of enemies. You say, wait a minute, we can't have a stronghold in our land. That's exactly what happens to us on earth. The devil places a stronghold in your life, and that stronghold is right in the middle. It's right in the middle of it's right up your alley. And he's got strongholds, and that stronghold continually destroys you and messes you up and brings you down. And it's always there, and it always brings you down because there is a stronghold you never got rid of, and you never cast it down. And so in your life, you always go back and fail the same things. Many times people don't associate different failures. Many times different failures go back to the same thing. A person might say, well, in my life, my marriage fell apart, and I had a kid that went astray, and I got fired from my job. But, you know, that's just three different things in my life. Maybe there's... We get these. Ooh, this guy's loud. I like it. And we will get this guy right, turn it down a little bit. Good. Family strongholds. Visit on the third and fourth generation. Deuteronomy. Let's go forward to Deuteronomy. We'll see this again. We can show you this all over the Bible. A lot of this in the Bible and examples of it in the Bible. We won't show you all the examples because the message doesn't have time for it. But you'll just show you the concept. Family stronghold. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verse 9. Deuteronomy 5:9, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Family strongholds. Now, the studies in psychology is telling us this, that, and it's true. You are an alcoholic, your kids have a good chance of being alcoholic. You smoke, your kids have a good chance of smoking. My mom smoke. Two of my brother and sister are both smokers. Still. My mom doesn't smoke anymore, but they still do. It's all over the place. It says those that hate me, that visits down. It is a stronghold that's placed in the family. And it's passed down, and they get it. You say, don't do like I did. Listen, if you go and you're proud, and you have a problem with your pride, and you can't swallow your pride and say, I'm wrong, and I'm giving in on this. Oh, you wait till your kids go get up and mess up their life. And you go, okay, listen, son, or daughter, knock that off. Don't you know what you're doing? You're ruining your life. Don't tell me what to do. I know what I'm doing. And your spouse usually says, you know, they sound a lot like you. Because there's a stronghold there. There's a stronghold. You might have built it, or your parents might have built it, or your grandparents might have built it. But there's a stronghold in the family, and it visits on the third and fourth generation. I want to break down all my strongholds so my kids don't have to start off with strongholds already in their land. They might, in their own mistakes, go out and build some strongholds, but you know what? I want to tear them down because you know what? When they're children, I can get those strongholds out of my life so they won't be passed into their life in the third and fourth generation. Oh, many parents do not understand the depth of the damage they did until their grandparents. They just don't have the wisdom. And they'll look around and say, oh, my soul, if they're wise enough, many don't even do it then. Oh, I wish you wouldn't have done that. Many of you, how many, I can't ask this question because I don't think some of you will grasp that's where you got it from. But how many of you understand that there are some really bad things that hurt your life a whole bunch that got passed down and you got them from your parents even though you didn't want them? Oh, wow, look around. You didn't want them, but they got passed down to you. And you said, and here's what a bunch of people say, I never want to be like my mom. And then you grow up. And guess what happens? You're just like your mom. You know how many girls grow up, can't stand their mom or their dad, boys or can't stand their dad. And they say, I'll never be like, my mom is such a grouch. And they grow up and they're the worst grouches, their kids. I'll never treat my husband like my mom treats her husband. Then you get married and rah, 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 but he deserves it. That's what your mom used to say. See, it gets passed down generationally, and do you want to pass down strongholds to the next generation, or are you just going to break them down? You're not going to get rid of them by a lecture. Can I say that about 1,000 times? You know how many times I've had people, listen, I've been working in children ministries for 24 years, watching people raise kids. I'm raising my own now, but way before I raised my own kids, I could see this. And I could see people sitting there going, you know what, I'm going to raise my kids and they're going to be really good and they're going to be a lot better than me. And you know what, I'll make sure my kids don't smoke either. I'll tell them not to. And I laugh. And I say, okay, sure. Well, I know I drink a lot, but you know what? My kids, I've told them, don't you do what I did. Okay. And you know what? The attitude, even if the action doesn't get passed down. And they say, I can't stand alcohol. My dad a jerk. I can't stand him. But they learned weakness and not be able to say no to things that make them feel good. So they don't do alcohol. They just go and do crack. And you say, you stupid idiot, I might have a drinking problem, but I don't do crack. That's stupid. But the same weakness that said, you know what, I can't stop, I'm not, I need it, is the same attitude they got. It's passed down from family to family. You need to become something your kids can say, Daddy, I'm going to put you in the printer. Mom, I'm going to put you in the printer. Your attitude, your spirit, your diligence, the way you live, I'm going to push copy. Okay? And you say, no. Let me white out a couple things, then you can push copy. Then it ain't going to work. They say, dink. Look, I'm just like you. No. Then if you're not like that, then you better change it quick, because it's passed down. Generational strongholds. Number three, national strongholds. Let me take you to 1 Kings. Oh, I can take you so much Bible about this. Those of you reading your Bible through right now, or have read your Bible through, you know there is national strongholds. National strongholds. Anybody think of a national stronghold in the Bible? Anybody? Brian? Going back to your idols, exactly. Israel and idols. It gets frustrating reading about it. You guys are idiots. The devil had a stronghold and planted it right in there, and they kept on going back to their idolatry. And we could just read a zillion verses, but it was just turn to 1 Kings 16, verse 2. For as much as 1 Kings, I guess I must not have said that right, because you're still turning. 16, verse 2. For as much as I exalted thee out of the dust and made thee a prince over my people Israel, and thou hast walked in the ways of Jeroboam, and we're not going to go back to Jeroboam, but he brought idolatry into Israel, and hast made my people Israel to sin and provoked me to anger with their sins. He says, you followed what Jeroboam did. If you go to verse 13, it says, for all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah his son, by the which they sinned, by the which they made Israel to sin, and provoking the Lord God to anger with their vanities. Verse 19, for the sins which he sinned in doing evil in the sight of the Lord, and walking in the way of Jeroboam, we're several generations away now, in the sin which he did, and made Israel to sin. Verse 26, and he walked in all the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. We could go through chapter after chapter. We can go through the whole book of Judges. We can go all through 1 and 2 Kings, and you will see a nation that had a stronghold of idolatry, and you will keep seeing this phrase, and yet they did not tear down the high places. And they went and worshipped Baal. They kept passing their children through the fire to Molech. They provoked the Lord to anger with their idolatry. And over, generation after generation after generation. And you know what? There's nations like that in the world right now. There are strongholds. Listen, there is a stronghold in Russia of alcoholism. Been there forever. Russians and vodka. You ever hear talking about that? They right now are drinking themselves to oblivion. The nation has an incredible... it's heartbreaking, and it's not. It's heartbreaking to see the Native Americans in alcoholism, a stronghold. And every Native American I've ever known acknowledges that, and it breaks their heart because there's a stronghold there of that. There's a stronghold in nations. Haiti has had witchcraft forever. It's been a stumbling block. They've had witchcraft in Haiti forever, and voodooism. It's there. It's been there. It's a national stronghold. And they don't go away. Hosea chapter 11, verse 7 says, Israel, you are bent to backsliding. Back there. There is strongholds in your personal life, strongholds in your family, and strongholds in your nation. America was founded as a very godly nation with very few strongholds. It's an amazing history of our nation. It's been a pretty good nation. It isn't everything it should be right now, but can I tell you, compared to a lot of nations in the world, there's some wicked things that go around the world that don't go on in America a whole bunch. Now, we in our entertainment are going that, and we'll probably plant a seed that will be there, a stronghold for a long time if Jesus doesn't come back. Let me just help you get these strongholds and rid of these strongholds. I just kind of want to lay the foundation today. How do you get rid of these strongholds? And the start of not being captive to your strongholds. Number one, at the beginning, do not let strongholds get built. At the beginning, do not let strongholds get built. How many of you, though you might not be captive to your stronghold right now, how many of you know the stronghold or strongholds that have been, that you have in your life? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you, did not raise your hand, but you know your stronghold? Okay, good. And there's about 5 or 6 of you. That's fine. I don't mind that. But you know what? If you don't know the strongholds, you just don't see it. Because everybody has strongholds that the devil tries to set up in their life. Just a matter of some of us pull it down and some of us don't. Let me hide not to get strongholds, and I'm not going to, there's a lot more on this message, but I just want to get just the very foundation of how to not get strongholds. Number one, at the beginning, do not let strongholds get built. Exodus, a little bit of Bible study tonight. Do not let strongholds get built, and that's what we'll spend all our time on, just this one point tonight. Exodus 23. See, the best thing to do is if the king says, you know what? I heard there's some people hauling stones and starting to build a building over there about 10 miles away. Let's go see what it is. Oh, you're building a stronghold. We're going to tear that down. Because once a stronghold is built, it's a lot harder to tear down. I'd rather tear down a castle before it's built. I'd rather destroy a base before the base gets armed. And the best way to tear down strongholds is to get them before they get built. Exodus 23. The Lord is going to try to get Israel to not have strongholds. The strongholds they did get that we just read about because they didn't listen to him. Exodus 23 and verse 33. Let's go to verse 32. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, this is the people of the land, nor with their gods. Thou shalt not dwell in the land, they shall not dwell in the land, lest thou they make thee sin against me. For thou shalt serve their gods, if thou shalt serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. You're going to see that phrase right there, and a snare is a stronghold. The word snare, how many know what a snare is? You know what a snare is? Okay. Snare is a trap that something walks into and it grabs your leg or it grabs your head. The word literally means, in the Hebrew, one of two things. It means a noose. Or it means, just like you put a little snare for a rabbit and he walks through it and little bugs walks through and gets choked and you got bugs and he's captured. Or it also means a hook in the nose. My sister, we were fishing one time. My sister was very dangerous with a fishing pole and she was casting and I wasn't paying attention. My brother was walking by behind her and he got a hook right through the nose. That same brother hooked me in the side of the head, and we were in an interesting family, and they just rubber stamped our names in the emergency room. Oh, it's Byram's again. Actually, it wasn't Byram's, Camoso's, and I was only Byram, but got hooked in the nose. And guess what? If you get a hook in your nose, you're going to go wherever that thing pulls you. You're not going to go. No, I'm not going. You're going to go, and. When you get a snare in you, the devil gets a snare in you. He's got that in you. He says, I'll get you right here. I want to go serve God. Go ahead. Well, I'll put my legs over there. You can't get anywhere because you're snared. And they told Israel, destroy everybody in the land. So they've got some very wicked things. And when you go into the Canaan land, this is what it's talking about. They're going to the promised land. He says, when you go in, destroy all of them. Destroy all their idols. Destroy everything. Don't even keep the gold from the idols. Just destroy it all. Get rid of everything. Because if you keep them there and their stuff, you'll learn their ways and it'll be a snare unto you. And you'll have a stronghold in your nation. And they had that. And they kept those idols for generation after generation after generation after generation after generation. And always, even a good king would come back and he'd destroy the false temples and the false gods. Somebody had hidden them. And as soon as that guy died, back. Stronghold was there. The snare was a snare unto them, just like God said, and they kept on going back to it, and they kept on going back to it, and they kept on going back to it over and over, and they kept on going back to their idolatry. There's many verses on this, and we see it. And if you go in, let me give you some of the verses. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Do not let the strongholds get built. He told Israel, when you go in, destroy everything. Don't keep anything around, because if you do, it will be a snare, a stronghold, and you will be messed up. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and just a few verses. Verse 16. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for it will be a snare unto thee. It will capture you, and you won't be able to get rid of it. Deuteronomy teaches us this in this verse. If you go forward to verse 23, it says, But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings unto thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. And there shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou shalt destroy them. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire, and shalt not desire the silver or the gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination unto thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, thou shalt utterly abhor it. It is a cursed thing. Just put it aside. Leave it a long way from you. Wait a minute. God said, when you go in the land, destroy everything. They're wicked. The people were sacrificing. They were burning their children to death in idolatry, literally, for Molech. Molech was one of the things, and he had a false god of big arms like this, and they had a lot of big fire under the arms, and it was in the arms would be glowing red, and they'd place their babies in the arms and sacrifice their babies to Molech. It was a wicked people and a wicked thing. And God said, destroy all of them, destroy Molech, just don't even use the gold, just trash it all, get rid of everything, it'll destroy you. Do not let a stronghold hang around. And they didn't do it. And 1,000 years later, they were still destroyed because of idolatry. Watch how they messed it up. A couple ways they messed it up, but just let me take you to Judges. Again, just a little Bible study here. Judges. You cannot let the stronghold get established in your life. Judges chapter 2. And verse 1, it says, And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I have brought you up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swore unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said that I will not drive them out from before you, but ye shall be thorn in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. You didn't do what I said. Let me take it and just show you one example of them messing this up, and then I'll explain it all to you. On the book of Joshua. And the book of Joshua, chapter 9. A lot of Bible tonight, but I want you to get this down. Joshua, chapter 9. There were some people from Gibeon. What happened is Israel came in, started killing.